I feel like someone's breaking up with me right now. I kind of like things the way they were.
I'd like to see other podcasts. Which means what's wrong with that? I'm already seeing three or four other podcasts.
What's wrong with ours? I thought we had something special.
Hello and welcome to episode 33 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. This is Alan in Germany, and with me, as always, I have
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing fantastic.
What? Why? Why are you doing fantastic?
Because I'm participating in probably the greatest podcast of all time.
Well, I didn't want to say it because it would sound like bragging, but thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
I don't think we're setting any Guinness-type numbers like the Ricky Gervais yet.
But?
I don't want to jinx it. Let's move on.
Okay.
What'd you shoot this week?
Well, I was reunited with my family over the past week. So we went up to the Okanagan, or the interior of British Columbia, as they say here. So I'm on the coast, where I live is on the coast, and about 5 hours towards the interior, my wife's parents, or my in-laws, live in Vernon, British Columbia. So we went up there to visit her family, and so some hanging out with Graham and Bubby, as the kids call them, and we went down to a friend's cabin on Lake Okanagan and did some fun stuff out there, a little bit of camping in their very, very nice trailer, so not really camping, but, you know, things at the lake, swimming in the lake, taking the boat out for fishing, that sort of stuff. So kids had lots of fun, and yeah, just took some pictures of kids doing different lake stuff.
Did you bring your 15-second tent?
No, I did not. We are going camping next weekend, so we're going to do another camping trip next weekend, so I'll take the tent for that.
What about cannonballs in the lake?
Always.
Yeah.
It's even
better. What's the one thing to be scared of about cannonballs in Lake Okanagan?
That it's cold?
Ogopogo, man.
Oh, that's right. Ogopogo. That's the fictitious...
What?
Yeah, it's not a...
What?
It's kind of like what the Loch Ness Monster, but the smaller version. Yeah.
So real and scary.
Yeah. I didn't grow up out here, so the Ogopogo is kind of a newer thing to me, but seems just like the baby brother of the Loch Ness Monster.
It is, I think, scarier, though.
How come?
It used to scare me as a kid. I was fascinated by Loch Ness Monster when I was a kid, but I was scared of Ogopogo.
The name is kind of jokey-ish.
A little bit. It does sound like one of those things that you bounce up and down on, like the pogo stick.
That's right.
Or Oingo Boingo, that band from the 80s.
Right.
With Danny Elfman, I think, was in that. But they've built a whole culture around it. Like around town, you can see the Ogopogo postcards, and don't they have them in the playgrounds? You can ride.
There's playground Ogopogos, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a large, giant snake, sea serpent, I think, is what the locals say.
I kind of thought it was sort of like an underwater dinosaur.
It is an underwater dinosaur, but in the shape of a snake.
Okay.
A sea serpent. I did say sea serpent at the end there.
I didn't get any pictures of the Ogopogo, but maybe I'll go back.
That's next week's photo challenge, is get pictures of the Ogopogo. Or Bigfoot.
Okay.
Or a Yeti, if you can get a Yeti. Or a picture of me doing housework.
Yeah.
All equally possible.
Okay.
Those pictures. That sounds like a great little vacation.
How about you? What sort of pictures did you take?
Same old stuff.
Your dad's still there?
Nope. Took him back to Frankfurt, and he's heading home. Or he is home. Depends when this airs.
Right.
Depends how long. He's actually swimming, so it could be a while. No, he's a nice little visit, a lot of family pictures.
And so I'm guessing more of the same?
More of the same. It gets a little boring to outsiders, but we can really see our daughter growing already, which is kind of crazy.
How big is she?
She's 6'4". Yeah.
Okay.
She's better than – she's like the other kids except slightly better. That's what I've noticed.
Right. Yeah, little bit, you know, faster. Like, can she lie on her tummy? She have tummy time now?
Yep, she does that. We actually have her out of diapers already.
Really? That's amazing.
She pees on the floor a lot.
And you guys doing the cloth diaper thing?
No.
Really?
Well, you know what they don't tell you? We have them, and we will do them.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, they are huge. Okay, we're not gonna go into great detail here because it's a photo show, not a boring dad show.
Right.
They are huge. Those diapers are one size fits all. Like, it's supposed to be the same for a 1 week old as it is for a 2 year old.
So, at what point feasibly is she in those diapers when she's five?
Yeah, apparently when she can move around in them. She can't move around in them yet. So I said, there's no way. I'm not going to restrict her mobility. So. That was a big thing.
Likely story, buddy. Likely story.
No, it's actually not. It's not for me. It's 100% for her.
Okay, let me know when she's in them.
Yeah, I think I'll probably sell them. Real good deal on some unused diapers.
Do they have Craigslist in Germany?
They do, but no one's on it. So I don't know. I don't know what they do instead. I wish they did because I sort of like Craigslist.
Where do you sell your crap?
I don't know. The flea market?
Oh, okay.
But they call it the flow market, so don't get confused. So, yeah, that's what we shot.
So, photo challenge?
Let's do the photo challenge. What was this week's photo challenge? You challenged me, so you tell me.
Deep focus, so sort of depth of field, a very large depth of field, I guess.
Right. Now, you'd said last week, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, that everyone wants to make narrow depth field pictures. Everyone wants to blur the background, right?
Yep.
And I think we've talked about it on approximately three quarters of our shows about how to blur the background and the whole concept of it. But it's a lost art, and I don't really do it myself as much. Purposely shoot a deep focus background to have everything in focus. I don't do it enough. So I'm great timing on the challenge.
Okay, so you're going to go first this time?
Let's talk about your picture first.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. We're going to talk about yours first to be fair, because I want you to give you an opportunity to then retort and against my photo.
I don't even understand what that word means.
What it means is I am going to be wildly unkind for your own good.
No, I agree. I don't particularly like this photo. I did this. Okay. I did this photo in a very short time frame, and I actually was hoping to take another picture to replace it. But then I decided that for the betterment of the podcast, because sometimes I think this podcast is a little too much sunshine and lollipops, and patting each other on the back. So I welcome the criticism, because I agree. I don't think this is a very good picture, but I mean, they're not all home runs, buddy.
Okay, you're really diffusing it right now.
No, I'm serious. Oh, I think that this photo is weak in terms of the challenge.
Yeah, this one's not going on your wall. And then the reason, okay, I have to preface this by saying you're better than this. I've seen you take some really good pictures lately, and so when you put this one in there, I was hoping you weren't going to replace it.
No, I thought about it, and I said, nope, I'll take the criticism. I'll hear it for the improvement of everybody else's picture. So why don't you take it away? Take it away.
What is this picture of, first of all?
It's of the SkyTrain in Richmond.
Is it? That's my point. What is this picture of? Because there's a lot going on here.
Well, and I think my initial sort of concept here was I wish I had taken it at a different stop and because I wanted to get the train track going around and out of the distance. And so at the stop, and here's a little aside. When you pay for the SkyTrain in Richmond, you pay per zone. Okay,
right.
So I decided that I was like, oh, there's four or five zones worth of stops if I just pay for a one zone, and so I'll go through those stops, and in my mind I thought there would probably be a great sort of deep track shot, and so I went through the stops and got off at each stop and got to the final stop and was like, oh, I guess I was wrong. I guess there isn't. I guess there isn't really a deep. So this is at the last stop, going within my zone, and I'm like, well, this is going to be it. And so I took it. And the thing I thought about when I took this picture is I said, okay, well, it's not the ideal spot, but I have different markers for depth. So even though the track doesn't wind away the way I wanted it, I think there's a bridge in the background there with some cars. I'm thinking, okay, that adds another layer. And then you got the horizon line with the buildings on top in the background. And then sort of in between there, you've got the power line poles. I'm thinking, okay, there's like in through the lens when I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, oh, that could work because there's different markers for depth. But then when I got home and looked at it on the computer, I thought, yeah, it just looks flat. You know, that's what I ended up with. I'm like, it just looks flat. And then when I saw your picture, not to spoil anything, I'm like, wow, that's depth, right? That was what my initial thought was. And then I thought, okay, well, I can go back out and shoot. And I said, no, I'm going to stand pat. I'm going to take my lumps here. So
I like everything you tried to do is admirable.
Okay.
So you get an A for effort, definitely. And what you talk about, you're right, talking about the different layers. Like you got the bridge, which that's the Oak Street Bridge, right?
Yep.
You got the Oak Street Bridge with Vancouver or I think Burnaby off to the right.
I don't know. Yeah,
I'm
sure.
I'm not too sure.
Sure.
So you do have that, like that. I mean, that's over water. So, I mean, that is another layer. And then you have the clouds and the mountains in the background. So what you tried to do is exactly bang on. Unfortunately, and this is not your fault, this area of Richmond is horrible looking.
Yeah, I agree. Very industrial.
I remember when they were going to put, like, even my dad, who lives in Richmond, says, oh, man, the SkyTrain just ruined the whole neighborhood. I said, did it? Because I don't think it did.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of unpleasingness about this area of Richmond.
Yeah.
And I tell you the reason I kept this picture, though, just as an aside, is I liked the girl on the front of the train, just kind of the white shirt, the white sunglasses, and sort of the profile. I'd like that. Yep. That was the part of the picture that I liked. So I'm like, I'm keeping it. I like that.
Unfortunately, this picture would work best as a shallow depth of field picture.
Yeah.
That would be – that actually – try to recreate it.
Okay. Could
redo the magic.
I agree. It probably would be much better if I could blur out all that crap in beside the train.
Great.
So there you go.
I like what you did. I like the fact that you tried to add perspective. You tried to, the tracks are coming, going off into the distance, and you have different layers. In my mind, it's just that there is so much going on and so much competing ugliness that, again, you did not build. If it was just those towers in the back left, that'd be fine. Whoever designed the railings here really phoned it in that day. some of the SkyTrain that they built is nice. Some of it is just awful.
Agreed.
So
that's, not my best work. So let's move on.
And in the future, if you're going to shoot a bridge, try to get the Burrard Street Bridge in the background.
Okay.
That's my recommendation.
That's a good looking bridge, the Burrard Street Bridge.
Fantastic. Built in the 30s, kind of, before money was tight.
Right.
I'm guessing they started building it before the Depression, is my understanding. And then, so they built it very opulent and nice looking. And then, years later after the war, they had no money and built the Granville Street Bridge. And which one looks better?
Burrard.
Exactly. But Granville Street's nice and wide, so, you go. Okay. Let's move on then. Let's talk about mine. Now, go ahead.
I love it. Harrison Ford. You somehow brought him over to Germany? Or did you just catch him on the street?
That's his stunt double. That's Harrison Ford's stunt double, my dad.
Yeah. Where's the whip in the brown leather jacket?
That's the funny thing is he actually gets asked that quite a, not the whip part, but he gets, I wouldn't say mistaken, but he gets asked about, are you Harrison Ford? Every once in a while, people will ask him kind of sheepishly.
And I know you had, on a side, not on the show, you had mentioned this point a while back, and I didn't believe you. I said, there's no way your dad looks like Harrison Ford, but With the hat, absolutely. But I think I might look like Harrison Ford in that hat. I'm going to try it.
he's had that hat for a long time, not because of that, but he gets asked about the Harrison Ford thing without the hat all right. the time.
But how come he has that hat? I think someone told him somewhere that he looks a little bit like Harrison Ford, and then he said, yes, I'm going and getting that hat.
I think at some point he decided his kids weren't that embarrassed to be seen with him. And he decided to fix that.
I'm going to push the envelope here.
I'm going to ramp it up a little bit.
Right.
So, actually, on the flight over here, when he was coming over a few weeks ago, the stewardess on the airplane asked him, according to him, in all earnestness, and he didn't have his hat on, excuse me, are you Harrison Ford? And at which point I thought, yeah, Harrison Ford flies Air Transat. Yeah, he flies coach. Well, my dad did book he paid a couple extra bucks for the exit row seat. So maybe that's why she made the mistake.
Right.
And Calista Flockhart was sitting next to him, so it was somewhat confusing.
But you know what's funny? And my dad, and I don't get this at all, but you've seen my dad. Have you met my dad before?
I have.
Okay, so my dad, he tells me, I don't buy it, gets mistaken for Richard Dreyfuss. He tells me, people all the time say, hey, are you Richard Dreyfuss? I don't think my dad looks anything like Richard Dreyfuss, but so there you go. It doesn't lend a lot of weight. So someone mistaking your dad for Harrison Ford, to me, doesn't carry a lot of weight if my dad gets mistook for Richard Dreyfuss. So
fair enough.
Maybe I'll repost a picture of my dad, you know, just so you can see.
Did we talk about this on the show that got erased?
We talked about it on the show that got erased a little bit, I think.
Okay, that's what. Otherwise, we are repeating ourselves.
No, we're not. We're not repeating ourselves live on the podcast.
Assuming we record this one,
right?
I think your dad could. He could pass for an older Richard Dreyfuss, but not a young Richard Dreyfuss. So. That my dad could be.
I'm going to send you a split screen of a Richard Dreyfuss and my dad, and then maybe you can post that, and we can have other people decide who looks more. Like, again, maybe your dad without the hat, because the hat's a bit of a cheat, I think.
Okay, I agree. But this, let me tell you, that this picture of my dad in the cornfield, a better sequel than the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
I don't think I ever saw it.
Well...
Is that the alien one? Is there like I did see it. It was terrible. I didn't like it at all. Yeah.
Terrible. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. So anyways, let's talk about the picture.
So tell us how you made it, because again, I looked at it and I went, wow, like I love this picture. And you said you liked the picture last week with your dad in the Yankee hat, which I also liked. But to me, this one is definitely a post up on the wall. Maybe your dad's wall, maybe not your wall, but certainly a framer, I think.
Yeah, this one will probably make the wall. I think my wall. We had this. I had this one in mind as soon as the challenge was issued. We went out. I'll try to tell the short version. We have a bean field not too far from where we live and went to pick beans.
Are you in Munich at this point?
We're going to go to Munich shortly. Hang tight.
Okay.
Hang tight. But we cut through Seattle on the way because we hadn't been there in a couple days. And I knew on the way to our bean field, we go through some of, you know, these cornfields. And I knew there was this one spot where the road kind of did what you're looking at right now. And so I said, well, let's throw the camera gear in the car. And we'll go take this picture. So, and then we set up, and I said, I knew in order for it to be a deep focus shot, oftentimes it's difficult to get the focus on what you want the focus to be on. So I shouldn't say focus because everything's in focus, but I'm saying the emphasis. Your subject doesn't always stand out.
Right.
And so I knew I wanted to have him be in this setting. So basically what I did was I got him lined up. I set my exposure. I used a flash on this one.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like it must be lit from off camera on his right, camera left.
Correct. I did use an off camera flash. I know it's kind of cheating for what we do on the show, but on the other hand, I really wanted to make this shot. So we offer a money back guarantee.
Okay.
So what I did was I went out there in building this exposure. I knew what lens I would use, my 50 millimeter lens.
Yeah.
Because that's the widest I have right now. And I basically underexposed the ambient by about one stop. So I set the shutter speed to 1/200th, my maximum sync speed. The aperture came in at f16. I wanted to get as much depth as I could.
Okay.
So f16. And then the ISO corresponding to that, whatever that was, probably around 1/320th or... Not 1/320th, sorry, 1/320th or 100 or somewhere in that range. I actually forget.
Okay.
Pretty low, though. And so I established that, and then I added the light, which was an off-camera Nikon flash, just bare, no diffusion or anything like that. And I zoomed it in as far as I could on 85 millimeters and shot it off probably at half power.
Beautiful.
Full power. I lied. Full power.
Full power.
Full power. Because it was a pretty bright day.
And again, I think I was looking close enough to sort of decipher in my own mind whether or not this was a flash lit picture or not. But I don't think at first glance, I don't think anybody is saying, oh, you cheated and this looks like flash. So I think you succeeded in the fact that you'd have to look pretty hard to recognize that it was taken with flash.
Right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's great. And I love the green and blue contrast, and I think it works even better because you've got those clouds sort of hanging right at the bottom there where everything kind of converges together. So you've got, you know, the path, the grass, the trees, the sky, the clouds all converging, which is I think why I like it so much.
I've got really lucky with the clouds because when we were driving out it was really thunderstorming, and I had a different photo in mind. I had like I was going to really use the dark skies. And as soon as we parked, the wind blew them away. And so we ended up with just that little bit of clouds, and I ended up liking the color blue better.
Yeah.
So we got really lucky on that. Wow. So, yeah, let's talk about how to make. What are some key points of making a deep focus shot?
Well, you tell me, because my photo blew and yours is awesome, so why don't you let us know?
Well, in all fairness, you went about it the right way, though. You definitely get points for trying. I know this is all sunshine and lollipops, and I wanted to make fun of your convoluted mess.
Right, I think you did.
We can deal with that. But how to go about doing it? How to actually to make a photo with deep focus? What's the first thing that you want to do in order to get deep focus?
I don't know. Look for a picture that has sort of converging lines. I don't know. Have an idea in mind.
How do you physically do it? What is your camera settings?
Oh, okay. You can't have obviously an aperture, a wide open aperture. So you have to have a smaller hole. So I went to, I think, F13 or F11.
Right.
And you said you went to F16.
I went down to F16, which I don't normally even venture near that.
So that'll automatically keep more in focus. So that's the first step.
That's the first step. The second step
is
you want a wide enough lens.
Right. So you can get a big range of what's in focus.
If a telephoto lens is going to narrow your depth of field considerably.
Right.
And so now the widest I have, I would have shot with a wider lens on this if I had one. But as I mentioned a couple of episodes ago, my 17-85 is broken. So that does me no good.
Yeah.
So we shot with the 50 millimeter on my 5D, which is the widest I can go. And so that coupled with the F16 should be good enough, but there's also one more factor, and that's distance. That's your focal, I want to say this properly, the distance from where you focus to the camera.
Right.
Now, in this case, I focused on my dad and made sure I stood back far enough. If I was in too close to him and he was very close to the camera and I focused on him, we would still get a slightly blurred background.
Right.
So that the distance from your subject to camera comes into play. Although you can cheat a little bit, and I meant to do this, and then I decided not to because I kind of liked the picture and I wanted to be razor sharp on him. If you have a wide depth of field, like a very deep depth of field, you don't need to focus directly on your subject. If I were to focus on the corn, let's say 20 feet behind him, he would probably still be in focus. And we would extend our depth of focus even further in the background.
Right.
Are you with me?
A little bit.
So that's a good trick. You know what? I think we'll talk more about that in the future episodes, but that's one way to do it. I did focus on him, but I made sure to keep him far enough back so he would stay. So we have a nice deep depth of field.
Okay.
That's physically how we start doing it. That's what we have to go about. So as we mentioned earlier, narrow depth of field is a really good cheat, if you will, in order to bring our attention on your subject. Because everything else is blurry. The only thing that's sharp is our subject. We're going to focus there, our attention there, automatically.
Yeah.
But if everything's in focus, how do we narrow that emphasis? Well, there's a couple ways to do it. First of all, I chose these colors on purpose. I knew that my dad wasn't wearing anything green, and thus I would put him in front of the green background.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
So he would stand out. And in fact, there's not really any colors like him in the rest of the image.
Right, just the black, I guess, and the darks in amongst the corn.
True. That's actually a good point.
Because his shoulders lose a little bit against the background there.
Yes, they do. And
his hat, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
And in retrospect, a gray shirt might have looked better,
Or a white shirt.
A white shirt might pop out too much.
Oh, okay.
And overexpose.
Or a fluorescent yellow shirt.
Or a shirt that says, I'm not corn.
Have you seen my brother, Harrison? Oh, there's my phone ringing, so just ignore that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a great.
I'm not gonna answer it, but it'll probably just ring. So it's probably work because nobody else calls me.
I'm not cutting that out.
Well, why would you? Yeah. No. So that's it. The end.
Okay. The end of the phone distraction.
Yeah.
That was brought to you by
Telus Mobility.
So another way to basically bring our attention to our subject is, you know, by different contrasts. This is actually a fairly high contrast shot because I underexposed the background,
right,
and exposed him properly. If I'd exposed the background how the camera told me to, he would have blended in a little bit more. You would have paid a little more attention to the background. Something else is you can have, you know, if you use patterns.
Oh, you hear that now?
Man, you are blown up.
That's that's my phone saying that there's a message. That'll stop in about 3 seconds here, too. But just if you want to dance along, you can.
Dance along at home.
I just want to take my phone and I want to huck it out the window. And musical interlude finished.
Okay. The other way to do this is to kind of have some sort of a contrast between your subject and the background in terms of patterns. Now, I knew that the corn would create an interesting pattern in the background without being distracting.
Right.
And that my dad would stick out from that. Same with the grass. The long grass would form that sort of pattern. And most importantly, the grass would not be a real competing pattern with the corn. They're definitely different, but they're not so different that they're competing with each other.
Right. How about we count all the other ways that your picture is awesome? And this I'm a moron.
This is just chapter one.
Okay. The book comes out next week.
Yeah. Chapter two is how to find a new guest host.
Right.
So we're looking.
Okay.
These are just gentle. I'm telling you what I did and what I look for when I create an image. Because in all fairness, this is actually one of the best pictures I've taken in a long time.
Okay.
I'm actually jazzed about it myself.
I'm not gonna pat you on the back. So I told you it was good. I'm not saying anything else.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Something else, again, tied in with the patterns is I chose a somewhat simple background. Right? That's one of the things that with I'm assuming that the train was essentially your subject.
Yes.
And it is competing with so much clutter going on that it's difficult. Like after a while, you can figure out what your subject is.
Right.
But you want to eliminate the clutter. You know what you did? One of the things that you did, like these are things that you attempted to do. Perspective was my favorite one that you said. Because that's exactly what I did here. I purposely created a perspective to come forward into my subject.
Yeah.
By having the corn getting narrower or getting shorter in the distance, that creates depth.
Yep.
By then having that path and the converging lines next to it converging into the corn or around the corner there,
yeah,
that creates depth that ultimately brings us to our subject on the right-hand third of the image. Rule of thirds, you know.
Yeah.
So there you go. So what are some challenges? Not in besides the stuff we talked about, but just the physical challenges of shooting a deep depth of field shot.
Well, you need, I guess you need a ton of light, because if you're going to get to an aperture of an F-16, then you need a lot of light coming into your camera lens.
Absolutely. Which can translate to a slow shutter speed,
right,
or a very high ISO, or a tripod.
Okay.
The shutter speed.
Which I don't really have a real tripod, so that one's out for me.
I don't either. I'm in the market.
Me
too. I've kind of been humming and hawing or hemming and hawing. I'm not sure what the saying actually is, but I'm kind of deciding which one to get. Do I get the cheaper aluminum one? Do I get the carbon fiber? I don't know.
Okay, well, let me know when you find the perfect tripod for the lowest amount of money, and then I will buy it too.
We'll buy two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you do need a lot of light. So shooting a deep focus shot inside your house is going to be tricky. I even found another challenge, which is kind of, I was surprised by this. Even though I shot this with a 50mm lens at F-16, I had to really pay attention to make sure I got the depth of field really deep, because with the large sensor on the 5D, it's very easy to have the background go out of focus quickly.
Well, not to worry. Most of our listeners are probably not shooting with the 5D.
Which is kind of an advantage in this case.
Right.
So there is that. So that's how you get a deep focus shot.
Okay.
That's it for this week. Oh, I have a challenge for next week.
Okay.
Did you did this one, right?
Yes, I made this challenge.
I got one for you.
Okay.
This is inspired. I don't want to tell you what inspired it, because I don't want to give you any hints on how to actually to make good photos with it.
Okay.
Yet.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Issue it.
Lens flare.
Awesome.
That's it. Make a photo with lens flare.
I'm not sure how to do that. I've had it happen before on some previous sunset pics. So, yeah, I guess I'll go out and I'll experiment.
Wonderful. So, until we look at that lens flare pick, where can people find you and your photos? Where can people find the camping or the lake photos?
Lake photos.
Yeah. Ogopogo.
Ogopogo, which, yeah, I don't have a picture of. They can find them, as always, on schwartzchronicles.com. And for your stuff, more pictures of your dad.
Okay, but I have a whole section. Actually, there's a picture. Go look for it. There's one more picture of my dad in my portfolio somewhere on my site. I'm not going to tell you where. You got to go find it. And the funny thing is that even though I was emulating a picture of the time of – it's a picture I saw of Clint Eastwood. I'm not joking. It actually was a picture of Clint Eastwood, and I sort of did a similar version of it, not thinking my dad looked like Clint Eastwood. People see that picture and say – he looks like Harrison Ford. So anyways.
My dad is Harrison.com.
My dad. I wish my dad was HarrisonFord.com. No, you can find, as always, at AlanEtridge.com. The two of us, Adam and I, can be found at TwoHosers.com. Two Hosers on the Twitter. And if you go to our site, TwoHosers.com, you can find our link to our Flickr site. We invite you to participate. Get on there and really pile on and make fun of Adam's SkyTrain picture, or bail him out and make him feel better. I don't know.
Whatever.
Whatever you want to do. I'm gonna send like 6 or 8 comments just piling it on about the ways you failed.
Okay.
No, I'm not. And feel free to get on and make fun of the fact that my dad isn't actually Harrison Ford. That's it.
All right.
Until next week, everybody, get out there. Make better photos.